Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the second hour of your Sunday Spin, 8:06 on this Sunday morning. And I'm joined here in the Allstate Showcase studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue by Dan Montgomery. Dan is the president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rick. It's great to be here.
I don't know if you got to hear any of State Representative David McSweeney's remarks
previous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He says basically the legislature should just hand the governor a $32 billion lump sum and let him figure out the budget.
Yeah. I don't think that sounds like a good idea. I mean, you know, one of the things that people have really been talking about, and it's probably overdue, is that the governor has a constitutional responsibility to present a budget, a balanced budget. And he has yet to do that in 2 years plus. So the idea that, I mean, if he can't produce a balanced budget for the state, which he's obligated to do, why would you give him just a blank check? I don't see how that's a solution to anything.
Well, Representative McSweeney acknowledges that the governor has not presented a balanced budget, but says that the governor has talked about with his business management skills that.
Well, again, I mean I mean, this is something that I think a lot of people scratch their head about, which is sort of like this whole idea. You know, let's have the business skills guy, the guy from business, I'll fix everything because I know business. But what have we seen? The state has been driven into a ditch like it's never been before, because he hasn't offered a balanced budget. But he, in the bargain of doing that, right, we've seen massive social service cuts. So in my world, you know, in education, higher ed, the MAP grants, right? MAP grants are grants for students who have low income, so they can go to college. It's an established program. Hundreds of thousands of students in Illinois get these MAP grants. And right now, today, the MAP grants are not funded for this year. They did a stopgap to, you know, first semester.
Right.
And then last year we had the same thing. So you've had all these students they've been promised. They got a letter saying, you know, here's your MAP grant. It's worth X amount so you can go to college. And they are up in limbo. And this is now, we've gone through sort of two cycles of this. Social service, right? We know hundreds of thousands of people have lost social services. Rick, I'm sure, you know, people around the city in the Chicago area, like institution after institution, you know, social service, whether it's, you know, Catholic Charities, Lutheran Family Services. I work with a group called Inspiration Cafe that helps train people to get into food careers in Uptown. And, you know, they've had to close operations. All these places have had to roll up operations, lay off people, and they're just not going to come back. And that's hundreds of thousands of families in Illinois who need these, who depend on these sorts of things. Single moms who depend on support for childcare, things like that, gone. The magic, you know, of the governor's business acumen. I mean, he canceled funding for autism on World Autism Day. I mean, it's really not laughable, but I mean, it's that sort of thing. So I don't think he's really proven in a couple years here for Illinois that he knows how to get things done and manage things. He hasn't been able to get things done. So that's why we've had these stopgaps. I heard the Representative McSweeney say that, you know, he kind of decried the tax situation and things like that. But unfortunately, because they haven't had a budget in so long, because they let the higher income tax rate lapse, you know, as he did point out, $13 billion in unpaid bills right now. I mean, that is a major problem. There's a way ahead to do this. I don't know what it is with this governor because he won't come out and say, I'll sign for revenue that we need. he's not putting forth a map, you know, of how to get the state where it needs to be. And I'm very skeptical. I don't actually think there's going to be a budget.
I was just going to ask you, do you think we're going to roll through to the election without a budget?
I'm beginning to think that. I think, you know, when he first took over, and people, I actually did hear some people say, maybe we won't have a budget for 4 years. And I thought to myself, that'll never happen. Now I think it will. I think it's likely. I mean, he's not sort of said, like, look, okay, people's lives are more important than my politics. I'm going to get this done. Let's get it done. Let's compromise. He hasn't done that. And we know, you know, the so-called grand bargain, he got in the room there and tanked that. He had his, you know, with the Republicans. So I don't think he really wants a deal. I think he's sort of the school of it's better if we just blow everything up. You know, the deep administrative state or whatever he thinks Illinois is. And you know, oh well. I think it's a shame. I you know, people I talk to who are just regular people trying to go on, do, you know, work their jobs, get on with their lives, put their kids in college, they're very frustrated.
Well, and as Representative McSweeney pointed out, you've got basically 91% of the state operating on autopilot under various court orders. And he's supportive of Lisa Madigan's efforts to try to end state employee paychecks and the lack of an appropriation.
Yeah. Well, and I think one reason a lot of people haven't, you know, there's a lot of people out there I think still don't, haven't felt the crisis, if you will.
I think most people,
right?
Truly, unless you're totally into it,
exactly.
or deal with social service agencies, or perhaps need the services they offer and they're not there anymore.
Precisely. If you're relying on those services, you've definitely felt it. If you've got a kid in college, you felt it. Or you're thinking about your kid applying to college in Illinois, you felt it. But one of the big reasons, I think, is K-12 funding, right? They have funded K-12 schools. It's inadequate and it's inequitable, but they've kind of written that check. So no one has, for the most part, seen their schools close or make the draconian cuts we've seen in higher education, for instance. I think if it comes to that, then maybe that changes, you know, for a lot of people, the calculation of, you know, the state that we're in. Of course, in the city of Chicago, there's still a big problem, and that does relate to the state. We have, and this is, again, I think one of the very frustrating things about the governor. He says, well, I'm for education and, you know, I'm putting more money in. Well, it's true that they put a little bit more in K-12 funding in the last couple of years than the previous years. But the previous years were heavily underfunded.
Right.
They were what they called prorated from the kind of minimal standard the state set in statute for school funding. But it's still grossly inadequate. We are still to this day, under this governor, depending on how you measure it, 48th or 49th in the nation in terms of state dollars for education. And that's why people don't like their property taxes, because property taxes have filled that gap. And that's not right. So that adds to this inequity. So you can go up to Winnetka and have, you know, really high funding for schools and low property tax rates, and you can go to East St. Louis and have no money for schools and high property tax rates. That's what we got to solve, and that's where a governor should lead, but he showed no leadership there.
Well, and that's why, you know, there are several people who pointed out kind of this conundrum of we do a budget, but we need to put a property tax freeze into place. And
boy, so exactly, like, no one likes paying property taxes, right? Everybody probably thinks their property taxes are too high. I mean, that's just kind of a given of life. However, they do fund our schools right now, mostly or heavily. So if you freeze property taxes, you're going to gut school programs, and people's class sizes will go up, and they'll lay off teachers, they'll close programs, they'll, you know, shut art, sports teams, whatever, you know, the districts begin to do. Well, people don't want that either. So to just say, to, you know, it's easy politically to say, oh, let me freeze your property taxes, right? Gosh, that sounds good. But it's dishonest to not tell people what the consequences of that would be. I think, you know, there's probably a way to give people relief on property taxes if you have enough state dollars going into education, right? So if the state redid its education funding formula and put more revenue in, you know, to school districts as they should, as other states do, then you could probably find ways to give some property tax relief. And that would be a better system. It would be more equitable. But that's not what the governor's proposed.
And so, quite frankly, you probably even mandate property tax relief in that, in,
yeah, and people
under
have
that
talked
scenario.
About, yeah, and people have talked about that in the past and tried to find ways to do that. So, you know, Illinois is still, it's hard to believe, but it's true. We're still a low tax, low spend state in terms of state dollars. Where people really feel the tax pinch, I think, is property taxes more. And we still have the lowest number of state employees per capita. You know, if you look at the last number of years, it's been cut. There's really nowhere else to cut. They have to get a budget. They have to have some rational revenue stream. You know, from our point of view, it would be good to have a progressive tax or one that's scaled to your ability to pay, like 39 other states. And, you know, we think that's more palatable. A lot of people would see a decrease in their state tax or, you know, stay about the same. And the wealthier among us would be asked to pay a little bit more. We think that's fairer and just going to be the most rational way to raise the kind of money the state needs. And by the way, poll after poll shows that that's widely popular. When you ask people about that, all over the state, almost in every geography of the state, doesn't matter where you are, people think that's fair and a good idea.
We're speaking with Dan Montgomery. He's president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Dan Montgomery, president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers. Dan, I know when you've been on in the past, we've kind of primarily talked about K-12, and that's primarily where your union represents, but your union also represents staff at many higher education institutions in the state.
And I do.
I wanted to talk to you about that because I had Tom Cross on a few weeks ago just saying about how these institutions have really cut themselves to the bone.
Yeah.
And it's not an optimistic outlook for many of them. I mean, we have Northeastern Illinois, I guess, 3 days that they're taking off of their calendar.
Yeah,
obviously, we know everything that's been going on about Chicago State.
Right.
But I even look at things like, you know, Northern, Western and Eastern. And you know, they're the bedrock of those regional economies there. There's no other jobs really there that pay those kinds of salaries, and the spinoff of institutions like that to vendors, local vendors, and those kinds of things.
Well, you're absolutely right. And yeah, we represent a few thousand people all over the state, and every, like those institutions at Western, at Eastern, at UIS, at Northern, Northeastern, Governor State, Chicago State, UIC, U of I, I mean, we're all over, plus community colleges. But you're absolutely right. You look at Macomb, where Western is, or Charleston, where Eastern is, and those economies of those towns are highly they're built on the colleges, and the universities they've in every one of those cases. I mean, you could go right down the line. They've already done going back a few years now furloughs, deferred compensation, really troubling closing of programs. You begin to name departments of philosophy, African American studies, education programs, master's degrees in education. Governor State eliminated theirs. Governor State's talking about eliminating a couple of colleges, possibly. You mentioned Chicago State, a critically important institution in the city of Chicago and in the country. It's the oldest historically black public college in Illinois. These are vital institutions to the lifeblood of the state, you know, the economy, the cultural lifeblood, the livelihoods, the reason you want to live here. And they have just been gutted. And it's been a long slide for higher education. The state, and this is true around other states as well, but the state's commitment to funding higher education has been sliding since about the mid-90s. And even in 15, they got billions less than they have in the previous decades.
Well, I remember back in the day, there was the rule of thumb that when there was such a thing as revenue growth in the state, that it was normally two-thirds for elementary and secondary education and one-third to higher education.
Right.
I remember one time when I think it was Blagojevich's first budget, and he made a presentation here to the Tribune editorial board, and I said, what happened to that rule of thumb about two-thirds, one-thirds, and he didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah. Isn't that terrible? You know, and we've seen the effects of this. So when I mentioned MAP grant funding a little bit ago, when I go to high schools and I talk to teachers, I talk to parents, students, there's a real question in their minds about whether they're going to stay in Illinois. And so now we have a brain drain. If you look at the number of, and I can't quote you the exact number, but the number of high school students who left in 2002, who left Illinois to go to college or higher education or whatever outside the state, By 2011, that number doubled. So that's a problem.
I think the net migration figure that Tom Cross, who was chairman of State Board of Higher Education, used was 16,000.
It's a number I've heard in that realm. My daughter, who's 18, and I want to say it's her 18th birthday today.
Happy birthday,
Eleanor. She's been doing her college search. One of the things I discovered in the Big Ten, the cheapest tuition in the Big Ten is University of Minnesota, University of Iowa, another place. These are places that are recruiting students in from Illinois. They're cheaper to go to out of state often than, say, U of I in state. Tuition has gone up to take the place of the state dollars that have gone away. And that's not healthy for the state. There's very little argument, no matter what your political philosophy is, that education is kind of the driver of economies. Education is the great equalizer. Education is the way to lift people up from a lower socioeconomic standing to a higher one, to make your life better. And it's still that way. It's still true. There are people coming from all over the world to go to American and Illinois universities and institutions of higher education. We have a great system, but under this governor and under this the stalemate we've had, we're withering on the vine here, and we're losing it, and it's getting critical.
Well, even as we talk about this, so in New York State, they just approved Governor Cuomo's request for to cover residence tuition at public 4-year universities.
Yeah.
$163 billion state budget agreement.
Yeah.
But that shows their commitment. But one of the commitment, and that would cover tuition for, I believe, families with incomes of up to $125,000. It's going to be phased in. But as part of this is a commitment that if you get this tuition waiver, you have to stay in the state for 4 years.
Well, I think that's a deal many Illinoisans would be happy to have. And that's good. We love to do something like that here. Representative Guzzardi has a bill about tuition assistance,
and we'll be talking with him next week.
Oh, great!
About that.
Oh, excellent! And yeah, that's great. I think probably most people who will listen to that show will be like, yeah, that would be a really good thing for me and my family if I can make sure my son or daughter could go to Illinois.
But to talk about something like that in this current climate, though, I mean, we've got a lot of work to just get back to. Staying afloat here.
Yeah, no, that's true. But one of the things that I think is important, I was thought about this when you were talking pensions with Representative McSweeney. We didn't get here overnight. It's taken a long time to get here on pensions and all our finances. And I don't think we can expect we're going to turn it around overnight. You could put a budget in place tomorrow. You could increase revenue tomorrow. You could do all the things you might responsibly do. And it's not like we're going to pay our $13 billion backlog of bills overnight. It's not like we're going to retire the pension debt overnight. What you want to do is head things in the right direction. Head things, and I think Moody's and all Fitch's, all those rating houses, that's what they're looking for. They're not saying, okay, Illinois has to cut more or it can't raise taxes. They're saying, we want to see Illinois do things to head it in the right direction. And
in fact, that they kind of echo, I think, what we hear from the business community as well. It's
absolutely
just looking for certainty and a move forward kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, putting some rational revenue in place, that's key. I do think on the pensions, it's very frustrating as someone who was very involved in this issue a couple of years ago. We've talked about it before, Rick. We've had 4 pension cases in the Illinois Supreme Court now, some state, some based in the city.
Right.
The unions have won every one. It's explicitly clear. It is explicitly clear what's legal and what's not. And to hear this Representative McSweeney and the governor talk about this the grand bargain pension deal, and then they based income on it. He based, quote, his budget idea based on savings from the pension. Well, it's smoke and mirrors. That will never pass constitutional muster. We've pleaded with them. Please work with us to do something legal. And there are legal things you can do. Again, it's not going to retire all the pension debt. But that's a bill they have to pay. The courts told them that. Let's work it out so you can pay that bill, do some things to head things in the right direction. And then the bond houses will say, yay, good for them. They're actually getting something done.
Well, I know, from talking to Senate President Cullerton, and it's his idea of the consideration model as it's known. And again, I'm not a lawyer, but given what we've seen from the courts, well, one, you shouldn't base any savings on something that is going to be under legal scrutiny.
Yeah, well, that's true.
The only thing that I've heard of optimism, quite frankly, mm-hmm. from those who believe that even the consideration model would be unconstitutional, the only mm-hmm. optimism is, given the previous court rulings, it shouldn't take them very long to rule.
Well, that's true. But, you know, it'll take a year. It'll take the better part of a year at the least. And that's a year then when they're not possibly going to put what they should into the pension systems, which makes the systems worse funded. It's a year in which they, you know, again, they score, if you will, savings, quote unquote, mythical savings from pension reform as a way to pay their bills. I mean, it's ludicrous. You would never do that in your own life. You couldn't do that. It's magical money. It's magical thinking. And it's very unfortunate, too, that, you know, we've had four times the Supreme Court has literally said to the legislators, do your job. It's your job to fund these systems. And they just don't want to do it. They don't want to make the hard decisions.
You can't create the economic crisis and then declare an emergency.
Yeah, and walk away. Well, that's true, too, right? You can't say, well, we don't have to do this because, voila, there's an economic crisis. Yeah, no, the courts called that out, said
right.
Absolutely not. So it's, you know, it's time to sort of buckle up and everybody to, you know, has to do what they have to do to get the state running in the right direction. And I just don't see it happening under this governor.
And with that optimistic word, I want to thank Dan Montgomery, president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers. Dan, always great to have you here in the studio.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.